Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Higgins Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophy, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox. Happy New Year! We're going to be exploring New Year traditions across cultures, faith traditions, and through the ages. I'd like to begin with an honoring of the new calendar year and a blessing for ourselves and for the planet, which we call our home. In the next few moments of quiet, connect with the sacred according to your own tradition and path. Honor the sacred and invite blessings into your life, into the life of others you connect with, and into the larger world of which we are a part. We honor the spirit of the new year, the new solar year, the new calendar year. We call to you, we honor you, we celebrate you. We call to the divine, as one, as many. Be in us and be with us as we begin this new calendar and solar year together. Spirit of the sacred earth, bless our bodies and our home with well-being. Powers of the sacred air, bless our minds and our communications with others with well-being. Powers of the sacred fire, bless our actions and our collaborations with others with well-being. Powers of the sacred water, bless our emotions and our relationships with those in our household, our families, our spiritual communities, our neighborhoods, our friendship networks, our connections with others that we work with, live with, connect with. Bless relationships and emotions with well-being. Powers of the sacred spirit, bless our spiritual lives and our spiritual connections. Deepen our understanding of the divine. Guide us as we journey forth in this new year. So mote it be. New year is being celebrated in many different ways around the world today. There are different types of New Year's. What we're going to focus on tonight is the calendar New Year, which for some of us in the Northern Hemisphere also is intertwined with the celebration of the new solar year that emerged at winter solstice time. New Year traditions go back in time and include a number of elements. There's variation according to individual preference and custom, ethnicity, nationality, religion, worldview, philosophy, family tradition. Many different variables will cause the traditions, even similar ones, to have variations. One of the traditions really is centered on letting go of the old and bidding it farewell and welcoming the new. For some, the exact moment of change at midnight from the old calendar year to the new is a transition point filled with opportunity and magic. One of the oldest traditions that accompanies the change from the old year to the new year is that of making a lot of sound. Noisemakers, drumming, cheering, clapping hands, stomping, feet, beating on pots and pans. There's many different ways to make exclamation, to make sounds. It is thought that some of the folk traditions involving sound making, exuberant, intense sound making as the change happens, has to do with purification, of letting go of any negative influences from the past year, of marking transition, of keeping negative presences from coming into the new year. So there's a purification dimension, but there's also a celebration dimension. The energetic drumming, shouting, making other types of intense sounds moves energy, and in that sense is an expression of the celebration. In addition to the noise making, there is generally the tradition across cultures of doing some type of greeting to verbally express Happy New Year. In English is one of those widespread greetings. Another thing that may be done at this time is hugging, kissing a loved one, sharing of affection, who you connect with at the point of the transition is said to be indicative of the year to come. So choose your companions, your partners wisely. Many lore traditions encourage people to do that. So there's a letting go of the old, a welcoming of the new, and the idea of making merry, rejoicing, reveling. For some, it is the exchanging of gifts at this time. It's the eating of special foods, the drinking of special drinks. The champagne toast is something that's pretty widespread in the USA in contemporary times. It's well as some other parts of the world. Some find it is a time to have a moment of quiet following whatever the exuberant expressions may be, or to sing a song together with others. One of the songs that is most commonly sung at the changeover of the calendar year comes from an ancient Scottish solstice Christmas New Year festival known as the Hogmanay. Most people aren't aware of this festival by that name, but Auld Lang Syne, which is now sung at New Year's Eve parties and New Year's Day parties around the globe, has its origins in Scottish culture. The melody is said to be traditional, and the words in their present form were put together by the Scottish bard Robert Burns. Some people will sing it individually, but often it is sung together by those who have gathered round. Another ancient tradition that continues to be celebrated today is that of the use of light, of fire, a big bonfire, the spinning of fireballs or other types of fire spinning, torchlight processions, the kindling of candle flames, the use of fire to represent the new year coming is commonplace. The use of fire and casting something into the fire representing the old year passing also has a purification dimension as well as a transitional marking dimension to it. What's most widely viewed through television and internet and in communities where it's present, the fireworks that are set off at the stroke of midnight, marking the transition from the old calendar year to the new. Some national and global television networks broadcast the beautiful displays of fireworks as they happen in major cities around the world, starting on New Year's Eve and continuing on to New Year's Day, and being able to get a glimpse of a common practice, fireworks, but in many, many variations. Dancing, singing, people in the streets, other old traditions connected with New Year. The Scottish celebration of New Year, the Hogmanay in Edinburgh, goes on for several days and nights in contemporary times. Thousands upon thousands of people are out in the streets celebrating. And there are other cities in Scotland which have festivals as well. And these are all-night celebrations. Glasgow, Aberdeen, Stirling, Inverness, to name a few. Sometimes there's torchlight processions as part of the Hogmanay. There's lots of singing and revelry out in the streets. Another custom rooted in Old Scotland is the tradition of first footing. the idea that you have the first person to cross your threshold be an indicator of the year to come, and you would want someone to be bearing gifts and also be considered fortunate. Now, some say the tradition of first footing has its roots back in older times in Scotland, and the idea that the person who crosses the threshold should be male, have dark hair, and be carrying gifts, some say harkens back to sorting out those from other lands that might be coming, in particular heathens, the Vikings, who would have more blondish hair or red hair, and that wasn't considered fortunate to have them crossed your threshold. Well, in contemporary times, there has been flexibility and adaptability regarding who first foots across the door threshold after midnight. I've taken part in first footing with friends in different parts of Wisconsin, and it's been fun. One year I went with a bagpiper friend and his wife, and we not only welcomed the new year as we crossed over the threshold and had good thoughts that we expressed for those who invited us in this neighborhood, but the piper would play a song. Now, it said that in first footing, it is good to carry gifts. Now, traditionally, those gifts would be bringing some kind of fuel, and often that would be peat or coal. Back when those were important ways of heating one's house, bringing something to eat. Scottish shortbread is one of those traditional foods, or oat cakes. Something to drink, usually Scotch whiskey. And in older times, bringing salt, because salt was much more precious and harder to come by. And you would bring the gifts in as you visited the household of a neighbor. And it was bringing prosperity and well-being into the household and into the relationship. I have talked with others who have done first footing. This year, I got a hogmanay basket from a friend, and it had some variations. It had a little bit of whiskey in it. It had Scottish shortbread and a beautiful scarf for keeping warm, but it also had as its fuel a self-igniting charcoal block, which is something that I use to kindle incense. What are some additional things that happen in connection with the new year? One of the things has to do with calling to mind the year that's passing and reviewing it. What were accomplishments? What were challenges? How did one grow from the challenges? What were wonderful things that happened? Who crossed over? Who's no longer with us? Who's died in the past year? Who's been born in the past year? Those are all some questions to reflect on as you do a review. For doing a review, in of itself, helps pull things together for a year, but having some time where you meditate, when you consider the patterns that have happened, and you have learnings from the good and the bad and the strange things that you've encountered in the past year. Doing some journaling as part of reflecting can be a really wonderful way to celebrate. In addition to reflecting, looking at this process as an opportunity to move one's ways of being in some new and better directions. Hence, resolutions, resolving. What is one planning on doing? The idea of making resolutions, calling to mind some things that you feel called to do, making a note of them. And then the final part of the process, implementing the guidance that you've received, putting into action the changes that you've resolved to make. Renovating your life and your lifestyle. So you can see this as what I call the four R's of New Year tradition. Review, reflect, resolve, renovate. In addition to these traditions, let's take a look at some other things connected with the changing of the calendar year. For American pagans and some pagans in some other parts of the world who have a Yuletide tradition of celebrating for 12 days and 12 nights, and starting that at the winter solstice time, January 1st is the 12th day, 12th night. So that would be the culmination of the Yuletide for some. And some will take that as an occasion to burn Yule evergreens, or some will save those evergreens till in bulk and burn them then. It can be a time of feasting and revelry. And it's a time of bringing closure to the celebratory period of solar year and new calendar year coming into being in one's life and starting to re-enter daily life, hopefully more rested and inspired to help with the renovation of life's experiences and works. New Year is also a time that some people will take in particular kinds of food. I grew up in the South, and one of the traditions in southern USA is to have black-eyed peas served on New Year's Day. Now, some say it was for good fortune coming into one's life. Others, it's prosperity. Others, a combination. Others, it's an idea of nurturing yourself, and it's a tradition that others have been doing for a long time, so it's honoring a traditional way. Another tradition involving food that comes from the southern USA in several places has to do with taking in greens as a food on New Year's Day. Sometimes collard greens or turnip greens. The idea is by eating the greens that you are bringing money and prosperity into your life. There may be particular prepared dishes. The king cake is something that I've experienced with people who are following the Three Kings tradition. Different objects are put in to a cake, and as you break off parts of this pastry, this cake, you see if you end up with any of the small tokens that have been baked in there. And if you got the little baby Jesus, because this is commonplace in some Hispanic traditions that lends some pagan and some Roman Catholic traditions together, that was considered a great blessing. Plus, you are responsible for bringing the king cake at the next New Year's party. And other things that might be baked into a king cake might be a coin or some type of ring, and can be really a fun tradition to do. In addition to foods, and we talked about some beverages, the idea of exchanging gifts, greetings with loved ones is also something very ancient and that's continuing on today. New Year's Day as a time of connecting with cultural traditions, parades and pageants, games, and even some fun type of and unusual activities, certainly something that in northern climes in the U.S. and some parts of Europe, there is something known as the polar bear plunge, in which people go and plunge into bodies of water in at this wintry time for good luck. And sometimes it's also connected with charity. I haven't personally taken part in that, but certainly have seen photographs and watched media coverage of it. One of the things that I like to do at this time of year is something that has its roots in the ancient pagan past. Here again, some roots going back to Old Scotland. It was said it was important to put your house in order before the end of the year. So I generally take on some kind of a cleaning project, reorganizing, and here it's repatterning and making the way for a fresh start as the calendar year changes. It was thought that by tidying up the year's business, then you are better able to go into the new year with higher potentials for positivity to come into one's life. What I'd like to do now is guide a short meditation that you can use as part of your own New Year's celebration. So in the next few moments, take some deep, slow breaths and relax. And as you do, invite that deep part of yourself, your soul, your inner self, your spirit, to come to the forefront and help guide your process, to aid your memory, that divine that's within you. Connect with that. As you look back over the calendar year that's just ended. Know that you can move through time and space, through memory, and call up experiences now and later, should you wish to continue to work with this meditation. Call up memories in order to grow and learn from this. So we begin with January 1st, 2012. Where were you on New Year's Day a year ago? Who was with you? What did you do? What tradition or traditions connected with New Year, if any, did you engage in? And now, as you journey month by month, through the year now past, let a memory or memories of experiences come to mind. January. February. March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, and as you review and reflect on the year now past, call to mind now something good that has emerged within you and or within your life in the past year that you wish to carry with you into this new year emerging. And now, project out into the year to come. Consider this new year dawning like a new day dawning. Full of promise, opportunity, possibilities. And as you are at the threshold of the old year past, new year emerging, pay attention to what comes to mind. In response to these questions, what is something I would like to learn more about in this year that's emerging? Pay attention to whatever flashes in your mind. And then consider what emerges in response to this next question. What person or persons would I like to connect with more deeply in 2013, in this new year emerging? And as you shift from that reflection, consider what comes to mind in response to this question. What is something I can do that will help me in my spiritual life? Imagine yourself doing that. And now return to an awareness of yourself in the eternal present at this time of the new year. And in the next few moments of quiet, consider yourself as part of a great web of humans, individuals, families, households, neighborhoods, communities, nations, all around the globe that are celebrating New Year. Experience yourself as part of that web of celebration. And experience well-being, well wishes flowing from deep within yourself to others in need that are interconnected. And as you conclude your New Year meditation, let your mind focus on envisioning a world in which not only is the New Year celebrated, but the magic of New Year grows and aids the connection process among all in the larger community of nature that's on this planet and beyond. And as you feel complete with your experience, return to a more waking state of consciousness. And you may wish to jot down some of your impressions, your experiences, any messages that have come to you, so that at a later time you can reflect back on what you encountered. And as we shift from meditation, we consider the importance of ritual in New Year celebrations. Having at least one tradition that you take part in every year on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day or near this transition point can help bring continuity in your life and can add to the joy and the celebration. This is also a time of prediction and of divination. And something that you may wish to do is to do a tarot reading if you work with cards, or draw a rune if you work with runes, or scry in a mirror or in a bowl of water, if that's a tradition you work with. Do dream questing and dream incubation at this time. Do free-form writing and journaling. There's different ways of being able to be open and to connect with guidance. And those are a few examples. For those of you who do tarot cards, a method that I have enjoyed working with is the three-card method, drawing a card for the year that's past, drawing a card for the present, and drawing a card for the future, and doing reflection on messages of each of those. Another method that I have used in connection with calendar year transition is the 13-card wheel, where like a clock, I draw a card for each month, beginning with January and concluding with December. And a 13th card as an indicator for the year as a whole. One of the things that can be really helpful at this time of year is to take a little bit of time out and to write about some of your impressions, to write accounts of things that you've done in connection with celebrating New Year. And to frame some experiences that you have already unfolding in your life, including taking part in this show tonight, as part of your New Year celebration. In conclusion of this part, I invite each of us individually and collectively to not only put forth well wishes for ourselves and our loved ones in 2013, as it's unfolding, but to also keep in mind well wishes for the planet that is our home and the larger circle of life that's here on planet Earth and beyond. May we each have a wonderful new year and a blessed 2013. And now, in this last part of our show, there'll be an opportunity for those of you who are listening live to share a way that you are celebrating New Year this year, or that you've celebrated in the past. You can post some of your ideas and experiences to live chat, or if you wish, you can call us at 347-308-8222. That's 347-308-8222. I'd like to welcome into this show, in the conversation, David and Jeanette Ewing. Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So what are some ways that you celebrate this year or in the past?
Well, one of the things that you had mentioned is something that is we've discovered actually is has traveled far beyond the South, and that's the eating of black-eyed peas for New Year's.
Yeah.
I grew up doing that. My father grew up doing that, and I've noticed it's something that a number of other people do as well. Now, the funny thing, though, is that you cannot find black-eyed peas necessarily, at least the ones that taste halfway decent, in places in the Midwest and the Northeast. So,
yeah, it's a little more limited.
It is more limited, so you have to do it old school and usually cook it from scratch.
Get the bag of dried beans.
Yeah. Now, when you all had that as a tradition, was it seen as something that was inviting good luck into the coming year, or was it seen more as this is what we do because it's New Year's?
No, it was specifically for you have to eat black-eyed peas on New Year's Day so you have good luck in the year. Yeah,
I think that's really amazing, and it's certainly many of these New Year traditions may start in a particular area, and with such a mobile society in the USA for so many people, it's amazing how things grow and change and move around, and just how globally interconnected we can be.
Yeah, and I think as people, you know, they migrate to other parts of the United States, those traditions go with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm wondering in live chat if anyone has posted any comments or any examples of some other traditions.
Reverend Terry also did black-eyed peas, and he also did collard greens today. So it is something that is, he shared his New Year's Day meal with.
He introduced it to some folks up in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so that tends to be the running thing. you know, or certain foods. People tend to associate it with different, you know, with certain foods.
Yeah. I think that, you know, a lot of the traditions, other traditions that people have are related to New Year's Eve and bringing in the New Year itself. People do, you know, different things and maybe have different personal traditions that that they do. Although, from my personal experience, I haven't met too many people that actually do too much magically speaking on this day, although people will start slowly doing things as part of the new year in general, like as far as making resolutions and stuff, mm-hmm. they might actually start doing magical workings that are maybe related or revolve around some of the resolutions they're making. And that's kind of what got us thinking on the idea of actually doing a show on resolution magic to kind of help people along with that process.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the idea of taking stock in oneself and looking about ways to improve things and to create a better reality, you know, there's just a lot of tradition and a lot of attention being put there. But there's also in pop culture the consciousness that those who are making resolutions just stay with the resolutions and may not really implement. So I do think it's important to consider not only possibilities for change, but possibilities for implementing it and sustaining it, sustaining change at this time of year. And sometimes people collaborate with each other, tell each other what the resolutions are to help encourage each other to continue on with that. I think, like any type of goal setting, it's helpful to select something that has some real doable dimension to it. You may have a, like many people, resolve to exercise in the new year, get more exercise. Well, you can work with that general concept overall, but it makes it more powerful to implement it by getting more specific. I resolve to take at least 10 minutes every day and go walk around the office or walk around the home and to increase my ability to move around and exercise on a daily basis. There you have some real specific thing that you're resolving to do, and ideally you make it not only specific enough to remember it, but doable enough in a small chunk to be going and doing that rather than the global, all right, I'm going to get myself totally in shape and do all this exercising. Well, you know, so part of the whole act of doing resolution and really making positive change is to put some attention into that as well. I think another thing about New Year's is that it has the old tradition of being a time where you do break with normal routine, and whether one's celebrating with others or on one's own, and whether it's a one day or whether it's over the course of several days or the whole Yuletide season, the idea is you enter into that celebration not only to have a good time but to disengage from the routine And sometimes the very act of disengaging from routine is sufficient to free ourselves up and let some other possibilities of how we might be to come and emerge. I know some people who are working with classical religion, ancient Greek, ancient Roman religion, we'll look at this calendar year change as the time that Father Time, often seen as an old man with a scythe, is moving away, taking away the old year, and the new year, often called Baby New Year, is coming into being. And those images appear from time to time in pop culture, these images that have their roots in the ancient past. The name January itself comes from the Roman god of the threshold, Janus, who was a two-faced god, one face looking to the past and one looking for the future. And January 1st was a particular feast day. Some other things that can be done as traditions at this time is to write about one's own life, just a day in the life on New Year's Day, your perspectives, what you're doing, where you're living, what your thoughts about life is. And then in a year's time, to write something again and compare a viewpoint. So that's a very simple exercise that one can do. Some people take down their Yule tree on January 1st. Some will continue to celebrate for a few more days. Some people, and myself included, will go until the 5th and 6th of January, which is sacred to Bafana and in some traditions, Holda and some other goddesses and gods that have their roots in the old pagan past. There were so many changes in calendar over the centuries in different parts of Europe that different dates were seen as the solstice date. And for that reason, 12 days of Yuletide might be calculated from the 20th or 21st of December, or might be from the 25th of December. And for those who use Christmas or Mithras birthday as the start point, then when you come to January 5th and 6th, you complete your 12 days, your 12 nights. And for some people, that's the big celebration as well. Well, however you do your welcoming of the new calendar year, I wish you all a great 2013, and I see from the clock that our time for this topic is done. Thanks to David and Jeanette. Thanks to everybody who has called and listened that way or tuned in by listening on the internet radio and who've joined live chat. And I invite you to stay tuned for Pagan Priest, and want to give thanks to the Pagans Tonight Radio Network, and stay tuned for next week when we explore ritual and a series of programs. Thank you all for tuning in, and have a wonderful new year.
Sacred place, green man, king of the wood. You know, I'm just looking at the new beginnings. I'm looking over 2012 and pretty much saying good riddance. It's been a bitch, and I'm just so happy that it's done. And it's time to look forward and move into 2013. So, looking at renewal is a perfect topic. And I know we have kind of a subtopic for tonight that we're going to address here in a bit. I really just wanted to start off by talking about the renewal. Because, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of times that we do feel kind of beat around a little bit. And, you know, we have a whole lot of drama in our lives. And, you know, sometimes life just makes it real hard to stay spiritual.
Yeah.
And some of the things that I have learned in the last month are that renewal is possible. The members of my temple have, well, in so many ways, they have, they've saved me. And, you know, that's so important as a priest. I'm finding it more and more difficult as I get busier and busier to maintain my own spirituality and to be there for my temple and to be there for my community with all of the demands on my time. And sometimes a subtle change will bring new excitement. And so I wanted to discuss that briefly before we launch into the subtopic.
Okay.
So what kind of things do you do that help you to renew your faith, to pick up the pieces when we fall down?
Well, I'm sure that everyone's got their own approaches. And I find that a couple of things really help. And one is the connection to the community itself. And I mean community in a pretty in a multifaceted way. I mean the community of me and my nuclear family, my wife, and the other important relationships in my life. Happily for me, men, those are generally quite supportive. And when I'm feeling a little down or a little stressed or not as patient and confident and gracious as I want to be, my wife and close friends buoy me up by being steady presences, steady assistance, steady touch points, and I'm very blessed that I've got some people in my life that offer me that kind of support and stability. And then kind of the next level out is the people in my most immediate circle of practitioners that are involved in the work that I do, that's part of a retreat center, and as well as a method of practice, where we circle periodically and, you know, honor the elements and connect back to nature and manifest various things that seem important, to celebrate the seasons together. Or a lot of the things we do is we do deep personal work in our circles. A lot of times in our circles we'll get things set and going as in our way. And then we'll drop into kind of a communal trance process, a led process where one or more of us helps the rest of us journey deep inside and journey deep into the realms of the deities that that speak to us. And some, not all of us have this, we're kind of an eclectic bunch. Not all of us have the same deity vision, form, construct, but we love and support each other in our path, and dropping into a deep meditative state with some guidance or some suggestions, to reconnect to my core, or reconnect to the true me that's behind my ego a bit, and the me that most easily and completely touches divinity, listens to divinity, and has that relationship with all that is, the divine, the God and the goddess. However you view it, I view it in a number of ways from time to time. People may find that unorthodox or heretical, but it's my way. And so in trance, in deep contemplation, renewing my knowledge of myself and truths about myself and truths about the world come in those ritual space times. And I find that very buoying, very, very much helps me maintain my center, maintain my true way in the world, so that, as a balanced, more or less whole human being, I am more able to be present for everybody else in my life. Like, be present for my family, be present for this community. And then there's a level above that, and that's the greater community, either my farther flung friends, people like the audience here in the radio, or people that I see at festivals or conferences. I like to be available as a whole and grounded, balanced presence whenever I get out in the world, to represent myself well, represent my my pagan tradition well, and bring as much light and help and support to others as I can manage to do. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, well, I find that when I get busy for myself, I can only speak for myself. But I find that I get very much in my head, and I can be very deeply intellectual and philosophical about the divine and the nature of the divine and have these long, rambling, wonderful conversations.
I totally understand that.
but when I get there, sometimes I find that I get out of my heart and more into my head. And the trick I find, or the issue that I find, is trying to take the time, or make the time, to keep that heart connection to the divine. And sometimes I don't feel it as much as I think it, and I think something gets lost there. So, those are the tricks that. Sometimes my temple members will become excited about something that will draw me back into that heart place rather than that head place. Do you find that to be the case with you as well?
I totally agree and relate with you, Terry, about being in the head space, because I'm nothing if not a intellectual sort. Thinking sort, analyzing, trying to write things down, trying to, find patterns, and a lot of it has to do with really mundane stuff. A lot of it has to do with logistics and coming up with things that I'm going to teach in my community. I need to get all the information organized, and then I work a day job, which is. I'm an engineer. I'm very busy. I've got I've got a whole world of that sort that's my principal livelihood. And it's dang easy to get distracted into the mental realm. And so I do try to find ways to, like, spend a few moments alone or take a few moments to just breathe deep, and center my thoughts and kind of run some energy, grounding energy up and open to the sky and kind of ground and center and take a few deep breaths and really, really bring some energy back into the heart center. And I find, just if I'm alone, that practice, simple as it sounds and simple as it really is, if you can move the energy and you're familiar with the techniques, now that helps me get kind of more centered. And also, within community and within my family, to remember to just listen deeply. Bring my desire to talk and transmit and chatter and share ideas. Sometimes just overtly decide, all right, I'm just going to stop talking for a while and just listen for a while.
Yeah.
And bring that listening in, with all my attention and kind of let the heart open into the act of deep listening. And that for me helps engage the heart in a constructive way and helps keep me in balance between the head and the heart, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, family, I'm finding, I now that there are changes in my family life, I'm finding it easier to connect with my heart. And those changes are amazingly positive in so many ways, including spiritual. And having people in your life, in your immediate family, that share your spirituality. And it's easier if one of you gets a little bit distracted, the other one's there to help bring you back.
Yeah, and it's, I know that some folks are in the situation where, their immediate family is not a functional support system. They may not even be, friendly toward your beliefs, and that is stressful, and that makes reaching for renewal just that much harder.
Yeah,
and for folks in that circumstance, look within. Try to work hard on building those inner muscles of resources of being able to move your consciousness and do the energy work in your body and through meditation or other practice. Open up the heart center and infuse it and also look at your internal dialogue. Verbiage, like, what are you saying to yourself? What are you hearing yourself? Maybe just stop for a few minutes and notice what you're actually saying to yourself. And then try to step back and maybe take a third-person perspective on that and say, is that kind? Is that good? Is that wholesome? Is that the dialogue that I want to be hearing from myself? And, sometimes there's, just the frustration of circumstances or relationships or jobs or money being tight or even the crazy tragedies in the world, the Newtown, Connecticut murders and the kind of generalized hysteria about this past winter solstice and the 2012 Mayan calendar stuff. And all of that just adds to anxiety, and I kind of put it out there as a recommendation and a challenge. So listen to what you're telling yourself, and if it isn't entirely life giving and positive for you, just pause and ask yourself why is this what I'm telling my own self about the world,
right?
And to, if maybe just the pausing can bring a chance for a a kinder voice and a little bit of love of the goddess to come floating back into you.
Yeah. Well, I like what you were saying about listening. Yeah, because I know a lot of people that come to me and say, well, I'm asking for help and guidance all the time, and I never get an answer. And, of course, I always ask if they sit down and shut up and listen.
Yeah. And when I was saying listening just most recently, I was kind of thinking in the interpersonal sense, but I think you're totally right that there's listening to others that you're relating to. There's listening to yourself, other voice. And then there's that real deep inner listening to your higher self or to the God or the goddess.
Listen to the divine. If you're asking for guidance, if you don't stop talking long enough to listen, then you're not going to get an answer.
Totally true.
One other thing I do, and I'm going to recommend at this point, I've talked about this on the Thursday night show from time to time. There's a book that I highly recommend called A Book of Pagan Prayer. And I have no idea how to pronounce the writer's name. If you're familiar with it, maybe you can help me out, River, but it's Sesawar Seth or something like that.
I don't know.
Anyway, I call it the Little Green Book. And in it are any number of prayers that have been written. And I've modified some of them, but one of them that I try to say every morning that really helps me to keep going, to keep this in mind, is something very simple. It just says, in the morning, everything is new. The day's blank slate lies before me, ready for my writing. May it be words of beauty that I write. May it be deeds of grace that I do. May it be thoughts of joy that I think. And something that simple, I find, helps me to be conscious of my place in the universe and my relationship to the Holy Ones and to the Divine.
No, that is a beautiful prayer and a beautiful way to be reminded every day that kind of connection and divine inspiration is available. I think that would be a great, you might just kind of put it out there to the audience, the listeners, that that would be a great thing to just kind of say today. Because, today being the first day of the new year and the time that, a lot of folks, like you were saying earlier, Terry, you're done with 2012, and you're happy to see many aspects of that go. And so prayer such as what you just described would be perfect for today. Let me tell you a little story about a vow that I made today, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, please.
I happen to be in Colorado. And I'm at a conference that is not particularly pagan in orientation, but it has to do with what is known as the Integral Movement, which is based on the philosophies of a guy named Ken Wilber. And it was kind of funny that we've been at a five-day conference. There's been a lot of talk about philosophy and a lot of talk about ideas of consciousness. It's really an exploratory kind of thing. I bet a number of pagan folks might find it intriguing to talk about consciousness, perception, and to talk about big mind and big heart as stages of kind of human development. And to me, it's a lot of people in the pagan community are quite mature and evolved folks that their mind does connect to the divine and inspires how they think and how they behave generally, and their heart does open to the hearts of divinity and the heart of spirit that's benevolent and blessed and supporting. And so it's kind of funny that those threads came up here today. We had a New Year's Eve party last night, which was a blast. Nice band.
Yeah.
Everyone celebrated like you do. And then this morning we had it was a closing session for the conference, and they asked us to say, okay, look at all the energy and information and conversations that we've had here in this conference over 5 days, and realize that this is kind of a special ceremony, and there's special energy here. So this is a group of people that aren't actually pagan, but I found really strong parallels that kind of made me smile. And so the facilitator led us in a process of making a vow. And it was kind of a formal vow, kind of an Eastern religious sort of vow where you stood up and you put your hands together in front of you in a reverent form, and you bowed to the other person you're speaking to. But it was a vow about what I was going to take with me and unfold as my intention into this coming year. And it was preceded by some, you know, introspection and discussion just for me working out what I wanted to say. And so I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was along the lines of, you know, I vow to be open and listen and let the greatest good of the God and Goddess flow through me in service and flow into the community and the life of everyone around me, and that as I move through the world this year, that I'll be inspired to know the right things to do at the right times to serve the greatest good. I made that as a vow, and that's kind of really along the lines of that prayer that you mentioned and brought up for us, Terry. I appreciate that.
All right. That's very cool. You know, that kind of actually segues into the subtopic, and I thought that what we'd do is take a short break, and then we would come back to that subtopic of goals and commitments for faith, not resolutions. You've put it in the form of a vow. But I think that we need to talk about commitments and goals for our faith and looking maybe at the new year and how we can use that for renewal. So what I think we'll do is we will take a short break. Since we are very pagan here, I thought Spiral Rhythms, I Am Pagan, would help to remind us of who we are as we start looking at this new year. And we're going to play that, maybe a commercial here and there, and we'll be back here in about 5 minutes. And hopefully Marky will find his way in. I'm not quite sure what's happened. I'm sure that when he gets in, he'll hit the one button and throw up a little flag so that we know he's there. But anyway, we'll be back here in about 5 minutes, and we'll pick up our conversation about renewal of faith, new beginnings, and celebrate the beginning of 2013. Back in a few.
I am pagan, and I'm proud. I am pagan, gonna shout it loud. I am pagan, want the world to know that I follow the goddess, cause she rocks my soul. Don't need your Bible, I got the wisdom. Don't need your heaven. Into this life I'm reborn. No Ten Commandments. One fills the bill, and it harm none to what you will.
Family. Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis from Wishschool.com, your anyone, anytime, anyplace online magical education. With a wide range of classes in magic, witchcraft, and psychic arts, as well as exciting social forums through Ning and Yahoo, video through Magic TV, and online radio with Pagans Tonight. Buy a membership today. And if you've already got a membership, buy another. They're a good investment. That's Wishschool.com.
Have a question? Want your question to be a topic on Pagan Priest? Then send us an email at pagans tonight@gmail.com with the subject title, Ask a Priest, and we'll certainly consider using your question as the topic of our discussion. That email again is pagans tonight@gmail.com with the subject line, Ask a Priest. Thanks for sticking around and tuning in through our commercial break. And now, back to the show.
All right, and we are back, and this is the Pagan Priest Show, and this is Reverend Terry Power. I'm joined tonight by River Higginbotham.
Good evening.
Hey, and we're talking about renewal of faith, and really, I guess we're kind of bringing this all into the new year issues and the old year issues. Woo-hoo! Gosh, good riddance to 2012, man. This has been a rough year for me. So I'm truly excited we're moving forward. Now, before the break, River, you were talking about this vow that you did at the conference where you're attending this weekend.
Yep.
And it kind of brings us back around to the subtopic that we were offered for the show tonight, and that's about goals and commitments for faith. Rather than resolutions, but goals and commitments. What do we want to accomplish, or what goals do we have for our faith in 2013? And I'm gonna go ahead and jump in and say that prayer that I read part of earlier. I mean, there's more at the beginning and more at the end, but I read the meat of it. I am setting a goal for this year. To say that out loud every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Say it out loud, not just remember it or think about it or, oh, well, I'm tired, I'm going to get up. And but
you
want to
make it a daily practice to say that and verbalize it and hear yourself say it as a daily discipline to keep that dialogue coming to you on the right track.
Exactly. And I used to say a prayer every time I would go on the air and before every ritual. And again, it's modified from that same book. I mean, that book that I was talking about, A Book of Pagan Prayer, is a really, really great book, and I recommend people take a look at it. But I'm also going to commit to going back to, in my preparation for every show, saying those words. And hopefully if I can get everybody together that's on the show together early enough, it takes maybe 15, 20 seconds for us to say it. And I'll share it with you now. I've shared it on the air before. But it's something to the effect of, sweet gods and goddesses, give me the right words to say. Inspiring the eloquent Oma, skillful Dagdalu of the smooth speech. From the many words, pick out just the right ones for this occasion and feed them to me, and I will do the rest. And that puts me in a state of mind where I am opening myself to be a channel, to be a messenger. It's not my voice, it's their voice.
Yeah, totally understand, and that's a great way to view it, and you know, get the direct support from the divine that's there if you can open to it.
And so I'm gonna commit to morning prayer and to saying that prayer before any time I speak. Any radio show, any ritual I do, I actually like to get the people together that are doing a ritual and actually say that prayer together for all of us. And, of course, I change the pronouns from singular to plural and make us more conscious of the fact that we are serving. And that those are the two things that I think that will help most to keep me in my heart space instead of my head space, or at least find that balance that we talked about.
Right, right. Definitely
so,
right.
So what are your commitments? What are your thoughts for the coming year?
Well, I kind of think of it elementally often that the, you know, there's the, you know, earth, air, fire, and water, and that reminds me and helps me focus on the different aspects of myself, like earth. Earth is, you know, earth my body, the physicality of my physical health, the bones and the blood, and what am I doing to keep this this life and living being body of mine going, because you know it's the one that carries me forward, and each one of us, it's, you know, our bodies are the sacred vessel that carries us through life and that allows us to be spiritual, allows us to build relationships with the gods and the goddesses as pagans, and allows us to you know, function well with our families and in our workplace. So, but a vow or a promise or a goal to stay healthy in the body, in the earth element, is a really worthy one. We've got different body types and styles and conditions. Some of us are healthy as horses, and some of us are challenged a lot more. Some of us are slender, or if you're like me, you're just a little bit heavier than you want to be. Like last year in 2012, although it had some ups and downs for a lot of folks, I lost 16 pounds. And,
congratulations.
I was happy with that good outcome. And if I can manage to do that again this year, lose about 16 more, I will be much more fit and healthy and more able to step out and support my community, support my family, and do everything, and you know, might just live a little bit longer too, which wouldn't hurt my feelings at all to be able to have a little bit better health. I'm really blessed otherwise that I'm not, I don't have anything chronic going on. I'm getting older. I'm noticing this, but even more on that point, that if I can just walk more regularly, that's going to get my core strength up and make my body healthier. So then the other part, you know, earth, and then I'll go to water. Talk about, you know, my emotional well-being, and you know, we kind of talked about listening as an important part of relating to people and relating to the deity. But you know, talking, listening to people, and being a good person in the watery realms, you know, the realms of emotion and intuition and healing arts. I kind of put all of those, I associate those with water.
Right.
And especially the relationship things and the emotional things. And I try to keep all of those in mind as a goal to always look for positive expressions of emotions, and if the days are pretty happy and filled with love, that's great. But if there's anger, there's frustration, you know, take time to try to find out what's going on. You know, maybe I'm just frustrated with my job, and if so, then you know, what can I change about it? What do I just need to work on accepting? If I'm in my community, if I've got relationships that frustrate me, that don't go as harmoniously as I want, you know, what can I do? Can I listen more to that other person, or can I be more clear to them about what I see and what I need, and what's right and what serves our community or our direct relationship? So, you know, keeping the heart healthy in the emotional realms is another area that I would set a goal.
Okay.
And don't let anything eat at me. You know, if I've really got something on my mind that's making me I'm fixated on, I'm angry about a lot. You know, if it's coming up for me and as frustration, that means there's something important that I haven't dealt with. And so, you know, as this year goes on, when I notice that, I'm going to take some action, and I'm either going to really let it go, or I'm going to do my best to, you know, to directly address whatever the issue is that's, you know, especially if it's in a relationship between me and somebody else.
Understood. All right. Hey, we've got a special caller in the queue.
Okay.
And while we don't normally take calls on this show, I think we're going to go ahead and take this one. And, okay, so are you there?
I am. So,
hello?
But I'm an honorary priest.
And what's your name?
This is Tracy.
This is Tracy.
Oh, I thought it was Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Yeah, that's why I'm an honorary priest, because sometimes I sit in for Terry.
Although you wouldn't generally pass the physical. So,
you don't know that.
Well, that's true. One can presume, though, based on past knowledge. So, so what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I wanted to call and check in because the priestesses will be discussing the same topic this month. So I wanted to let everybody know that so they can hear the priest side of it and they can hear the priestess side of it on Fridays. But I liked a lot of what River had to say because I've been listening through my phone. And so River hit a lot of really good points. But I wanted to say that one of the reasons why I chose this topic for both shows for the month had to do with Raven Caldera's new book, Dealing with Deities. So this kind of sparked a thing for me because he came on the show and he talked about his new book. And I was able to go to one of his workshops where he talked about the ideas that he had for this book before he actually wrote the book. And I was so excited about what he had to say. I was like, please tell me you're writing this in a book. And so, of course, as it turns out, he was. But he was talking about the different levels of relationships that people have with deities. From both ends of the spectrum to a very superficial view of pagan deity and just that I love deity and deity loves me and we're good. And then going much deeper into the very other end of the spectrum and having a really intense, very personal relationship with deity. So that got me kind of wondering with New Year's resolutions, how many pagans will throw out a resolution, I'm going to be more religious this year? Because I think pagans are just as guilty of that as everybody else is in any other religion. I'm going to go to church more this year, you know, whatever it is. So for pagans, I would assume I'm going to go to more rituals. I'm, you know, going to interact in a more meaningful way with deity this year or with my ancestors this year. So that was kind of where this topic came from as far as posting it as a suggested topic for both priest and priestess. I figured it would be an interesting way to start off the year.
Definitely an interesting way to start the year and get us thinking about it.
And the resolutions for so many people are tossed out almost 2 to 3 weeks after they commit them to paper.
Right.
What were you going to say, River?
Yeah, I think that that what you it was interesting to hear you talking about Raven's book. I've not actually encountered it yet. Is it out already?
It's a brand new book, so it came out, I want to say, like 2 months ago.
Very good. I think you're right that there, or maybe it's he's right in saying that, you know, some folks have just more of a superficial thing going on with most of the deities, or but if there's one that you have a really abiding deep relationship with, you know, or maybe you want that kind of relationship, maybe that's the kind of goal that this new year offers you the opportunity to make is, you know, if I have this deep relationship with deity, how do I keep that alive? How do I keep that vital and keep the connection, you know, up to snuff, updated and strong? Or if I want to have a relationship, or let's say I've recently dedicated to a deity that, because I feel attracted to him or her and the energies and the meanings whenever I go into that quiet meditative state, I feel that connection, or maybe I feel it slightly and I want to feel it more. Then making a commitment to, you know, every full moon or every one of the eight seasonal cycles of the wheel, to, you know, spend special time deepening that relationship, and you know, as a meditation, as maybe a, you know, study and reading and kind of exploring the intellectual background to understand more about how that deity's been seen and viewed throughout time by others, or talking with your elders, or talking in your family about, you know, what's their experiences with this deity, and how has that affected and blessed or impacted their lives. And another thing is something like automatic writing as a process. You know, that could be a really kind of a more creative way to do it. Just kind of bring your meditational mind on to the deity, and then just kind of let he or she write through you in terms of what you say.
Absolutely. And I find what's interesting about that, in exploring the different ways that we can connect, along with this topic. So last month, the priestesses talked about healing. And this last Friday, we talked about healing, meditation, and dream work. So one of the things that we talked about in particular about that is that we don't all do things the same way. And I think what happens for pagans, which is another point of why this was an awesome topic for the whole month for both shows, was that I think we read information in books and we try to fit ourselves into a mold that is kind of defined or offered by a book. In the sense of the priestesses talking about healing meditations, we discussed that not all of us meditate in the sit down, close our eyes, and do a meditation sort of way. And I think that's true of pagans, too, that when we learn things from books, we often try to do it that way. And so in saying about, you know, resolutions that this year I'm going to try to be more religious, I'm going to do more stuff to connect with deity, with my community, with my ancestors. If those things don't work for us, I think we give up on them because we're trying to do what everybody else is doing it or how they're doing it. And when it doesn't work for us, we end up throwing those resolutions away. So like you were saying with weight loss, you know, you were able to lose 16 pounds. But if you tried to lose weight the same way Carrie did, that might not work for you, and you might have given up.
That's valid.
Yeah, so I think in part of this that you know, pagans and Wiccans and OTO people and magicians and everybody needs to find that thing that works for them in a goal and be realistic about it.
I think that's right on, Terry. Tracy, I don't want to do that with you. Tracy,
answer to Terry because that's my sister's name.
I know. But you're totally right that people are really different, and some things you just got to find your style. You got to find your way of relating, sometimes it's, you know, it's reading. Sometimes it's art, you know, looking at the, you know, the imageries. Sometimes it's music that evokes the right connection. Maybe there's a, you know, a particular song about a goddess that really inspires that connection. So maybe finding some music that helps you in that connection, and to kind of use that as a tool to be part of a goal or part of a practice. But I agree with you that you know, it's not one size fits all for pagans and their deity experiences, but it's really kind of a great, great variety of things are available.
Well, I think it's important. I mean, like Tracy was saying, too many people try to do this cookie cutter pagan. And we don't all fit. And the important thing to remember about what we read from a book is to embrace the idea of what we're reading and find a way to incorporate that into our individual practice without trying to be cookie cutters. We're not a liturgical kind of faith. So the same words over and over aren't going to work for me as well as they might work for River or for Tracy. And those prayers that I said tonight were by way of example. Those are things that mean something to me, but they may be, you know, meaningless to someone else. So each of us needs to find our way of expressing ourselves with the divine and find that connection in the way that is best for us. And, you know, not try to be cookie cutters.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's the awesome thing about all the books that are out is I think the author said, hey, here's what works for me. You know, let me share this with you. But, you know, to the people out there who are buying the books, if that thing doesn't work for you, don't give up. Keep trying till you find what does work for you.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're 5 minutes away from the top of the hour. So I think it's about time to wrap this up. But before we do that, Tracy, as long as we've got you here, I've talked a little bit about my commitments, resolutions for the coming year. And so is River. What about you?
Well, I can't give away my show topic before Friday.
Ah.
But I can give a little bit of insight to what I'm going to talk about on Friday. So for me... A religious endeavor that I often forget comes from a story I heard from one of my friends about remembering to ask for help and be grateful and say thank you. So as a kind of training thing, a friend of mine did this thing where she put all of her shoes underneath her bed so that she had to get down on her hands and knees to get her shoes every morning. So while she was down there, she would get on her knees to get her shoes, and she would say, help me get through the day. And then she would get her shoes and put them on. And then so at night when she came home, she would have to put her shoes back under her bed. So she'd take her shoes off, she'd get down on her knees, and she would say, thank you. And then she would put her shoes under her bed. So that was her daily ritual to get herself to not forget to ask for help and say thank you every single morning.
That's kind of cool.
So in that line of thinking, a lot of my focus this year for my connection to goals and resolutions and the BBs and things that I want to do for myself has to do with gratitude. So that's all I'll say for now, because if, you know, people want to come tune in on Friday, they can hear myself and Stephanie Neal and Lisa Spiral talk about our stuff for Renewal of Faith on Friday.
Sounds like a great show.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Well, I will encourage all of our listeners now and in the archives to tune in, and if they missed it because they're listening to this after the fact, go find that in the archives also.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
All right. Well, Tracy, thanks a lot for calling in and sharing that and sharing your ideas and adding those to the topic tonight.
Well, you know, I appreciate being able to call in as an honorary priest.
Yes.
It's always good to visit, Tracy. Thank you.
Always good hearing from you. So let's go ahead and start wrapping this up. River, you have any final comments that you'd like to share just to wrap up the evening?
Yeah, I think it's a healthy thing to try to bring, you know, make your goals balanced. Some goals, pick a goal that's for your deepening your spiritual relationship with deity. Pick a goal that helps keep your body healthy. Pick another goal that, you know, to work toward healthy relationships. Maybe pick a fourth goal about, you know, how am I going to get out in the world and into my community and make a positive impact. And so if I can have a goal in each of those sectors to enliven this year and bring some positive focus for me this year, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend some time here thinking about those and come up with those personal goals here on New Year's Day. And I recommend everyone, you know, take that as an idea or a challenge to frame yourself in a balanced way with deity and with a positive outlook.
Cool. Well, I guess my final thoughts for the night is to find that thing that excites you about the divine and your relationship to the divine. You know, that thing that makes this fun, that is uniquely your connection, your relationship. Don't try to be a cookie cutter or to fit into someone else's mold, but find that thing that excites you and embrace it. And when it's exciting and wonderful and fun for you, then it's going to be easier to keep it going. And it's going to be more meaningful to you as the year goes along. So those are my final thoughts. Tracy, did you want to add anything to this?
Well, again, I want to reiterate that, you know, for myself as a pagan, you know, I have done what I said, which is tried to apply myself into somebody else's system. And sometimes when that didn't work, I gave up and just said, oh, you know, that thing doesn't work for me. And I came to realize that, you know, what I said, you know, authors and other people share in hopes that somebody may connect with them. But sometimes when you don't, it's easy to give up. So I'm a little bit more resolved to finding my own way. And I want to encourage others to do that because I know how easy it is to just go from thing to thing and keep trying things on and just tossing them to the side when they don't fit. There's so much that is just beneficial to a relationship with deity, and keeping yourself excited about your belief and your faith.
All right.
So we'll be talking about that on the pre-session show as well. So
All right. Well,
I'll have much more to say on our show.
All right. We'll be trying to tune in. So, all right. Well, River, how does somebody get in touch with you?
I can be reached a couple of ways. There's a website that you can go to and kind of see some of our books, riverandjoyce.com. And if you wanted to get with me directly, there's two good ways. Facebook, I'm on there as River Higginbotham. And on also you can email me at riverhigginbotham@gmail.com. And that's my name spelled out, you know, all in one big character string, no dot or anything between River and Higginbotham there. And then the books are available are Paganism, an Introduction to Earth-Centered Religions, Pagan Spirituality, A Guide for Personal Transformation, and Christo-Paganism, an Inclusive Path. All those books are available at booksellers and on Amazon. If you really want to know how to spell my name, you know, go to Amazon and type in paganism, and you'll probably find out how to spell it pretty quick. To everyone who's out there, and have a really blessed new year. Make some really good practical goals to grow in this 2013, and blessings always.
Excellent. All right, and Tracy, did you want to put any contact information out there other than pagans tonight@gmail.com?
Well, I was going to give one further way, like to stalk River, which would be to come to the St. Louis Pagan Picnic in June.
Well, you're totally right on that, Tracy. And I'm gonna be heading out to San Jose to Vantaicon in February. So any of the listeners who are going to be taking advantage of that great opportunity for some pagan community, Vantaicon in February, talking about ritual and authentic voice as a way to empower and make rituals come alive and be even more deep and meaningful. Should be a great time. I look forward to anyone who can get to Pantheacon. Please try to do that and come see us at St. Louis Pagan Picnic in June. Yes.
All right. And let's see. Contacting me. Again, you can contact any host of the show at pagans tonight@gmail.com. Put the name of the show or the host you're trying to get in touch with in the subject line, and it will get to us. And let's see, I am Terry Power in Northampton, Pennsylvania. On Facebook, the public figure page is Rev Terry Power HP. And you can also find out about stuff going on here in the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania by joining or liking our page on Facebook for Celtic Cross Temple. And there's a lot going to be going on in the coming year, so check all of that out. And I guess that's about it. So, River, thank you so much for being with us tonight. It's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your hosting it. You did a fine job and helping all the other priests stay on topic and hopefully create some stimulating conversation for all of the listeners.
Well, anytime we can make somebody go, then we've done our job. So, Tracy, also thank you for calling in and sharing your ideas and reminding us about the Priestess Show coming up on Friday night. So just for everything you do for the station, for the network.
I do try.
You do more than try. Your efforts are amazing and you keep all the hosts on task as well as you can herd a bunch of cats. And it is greatly appreciated. So I guess that's about it. I hope everybody has a wonderful new year and a year filled with love and with wonder. Have a great night, guys.
Blessed be, everybody.
Blessed be.
Thank you for joining us on WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. You can hear us every night right here on Blog Talk Radio, or download us later on iTunes. Please check our schedule for accurate showtimes. For all questions, comments, or show suggestions, you can email us at pagans tonight@gmail.com. And let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on LiveJournal. We invite you to tune in again tomorrow night. Good night, and blessed be.